Chapter 10 Places
第十章地方
Unit 10 Places
地方
Conversations
Part 1
A is asking the way in New York.
Can you tell me where New York's Chinatown is?
Yes, it's downtown Manhattan between Mott Street and Canal Street.
How far is it from here?
Well, we are now in Times Square at 42nd Street. It is quite a long way from here.
How can I get there?
You can either take the subway or downtown bus.
Which is more convenient?
The best way to get there is by the BMT subway right here and get off at the Canal Street station.
Where is the station here?
Look, just over there.
Part 2
John is talking with Peter, a native person in Chicago.
Peter, do you like living in Chicago?
Yes, I'm proud of living here. You know, we think it is even more important to the nation than New York.
Why?
Chicago is the center of American commerce and transportation. We have the busiest airport in the world.
Any other reason?
Yes, it is still the center of the American railroad system.
And the port?
It is a great inland port, unique in the world. It can send goods by ocean-going ships all the way to Europe. It can send goods by barge through waterways and canals.To the Mississippi and down it to the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, I see.
Part 3
A wants to learn something about Denmark.
Julie, you are from Denmark, aren't you?
Yes.
Please tell me something about your country.
Fine. Denmark is a constitutional monarchy in northwestern Europe.
How many people are there?
Not many. In 1996, it was estimated as a little over 5 million.
What is the land like?
The surface of the Danish mainland is generally low.
The average elevation is about 30 meters above sea level.
And the climate?
It has a temperate maritime climate. The mean temperature in summer is about 16 degrees Celsius, and in winter about 0 degrees Celsius.
Does it rain a lot there?
Yes.The average annual rainfall is about 610 millimeters.
Do they speak fluently in English as you?
Not everyone. The official language is Danish, and many Danes also speak English as their second language.
Oh, English is really a popular language in the whole world.
Part 4
A and B are talking about Sydney.
Hello, Bob. Where's your landlady from?
She is from Australia.
Is Australia big?
Yes, it's almost as big as the continental US.
Is she from Sydney?
Yes.
Have you heard anything about Sydney?
Yes, it's the water that defines Sydney. It is a playground and a front yard.
What attracts people most in Sydney?
The Opera House, which was completed in 1963, and it looks like billowing sails to sun, though the architect had orange sections in mind.
I like the idea. How many people are there?
You mean population? About 4 million.
So, it's a big city.
Passage.
The beauty of Britain.
The beauty of Britain. The beauty of our country is as hard to define as it is to enjoy. Remembering other enlarged countries, we see at once that one of its charms is that it varies immensely within a small compass. We have here no vast mountain ranges, no illimitable plains, but we have a superb variety. A great deal of everything is packed into little space. Nature, we feel, has carefully adjusted things. Mountains, plains, rivers, lakes, to the scale of the island itself. For a variety of landscape, the Yorkshire Dales cannot be matched with this island or anywhere else. A day's walk among them will give you almost everything fit to be seen on this earth. You will enjoy the green valleys with their rivers and find old bridges, pleasant villages, and smooth fields. You will find yourself facing the moorland slopes with their rushing streams, salty winds, and white farmhouses. And then you will reach the lonely heights, which seem to be miles above the ordinary world. Yet, less than an hour in a fast motor will bring you to the middle of some manufacturing towns, which can be left and forgotten just as easily as it can be reached from these heights. With variety goes surprise. Ours is the country of happy surprises. If you go down into the West Country, among rounded hills and soft pastures, you will suddenly arrive at the bleak tablelands. But before you have reached them, you have already been surprised by the queer bit of fen country you have found in the neighborhood of Glastonbury. After the easy rolling Midlands, the dramatic Peak District, with its genuine steep fells, never fails to astonish me. A car will take you all around the Peak District in a morning. It is nothing but a crumpled green handkerchief. Nevertheless, we hear of search parties going out there to find lost travelers. I have never explored this region properly, and so it remains to me a country of mystery. I could go on with this list of surprises, but perhaps you had better make your own. Another characteristic of our landscape is its exquisite moderation. It has been born of a compromise between wildness and tameness, between nature and man. One reason for this is that it contains exquisite balance between nature and man. The fence and the gate are man-made, but are not severely regular and trim as they would be in some other countries. The trees and the hedges, the grass and wild flowers, all suggest that nature has not been forced into obedience. The irregularity and coloring of the cottage make it fit snugly into the landscape, and you feel it might have grown there, because it looks nearly as much a piece of natural history as the trees. In some countries, the cottage would have declared, "Man, the drainer, the tiller, the builder has settled here." In this English scene, there is no such direct opposition. Men and trees and flowers, we feel, have all settled down comfortably together. The motto is, "Live and let live." This exquisite harmony between nature and man explains in part the charm of the older Britain. The whole town fitted snugly into the landscape, as if they were no more than bits of woodland, and roads went winding the easiest way as naturally as rivers. It was impossible to say where cultivation ended and wildlife began. It was a country rich in trees, birds, and wildflowers, as we can see to this day.
Words and expressions.
Define.
Charm.
Immensely.
Very.
Compass.
Range.
Illimitable.
Plain.
Superb.
Adjust.
Scale.
Moorland.
Slope.
Rushing.
Stream.
Salty.
Farmhouse.
Manufacturing.
Easily.
Rounded.
Pasture.
Bleak.
Tableland.
Neighborhood.
Rolling.
Dramatic.
Genuine.
Steep.
Crumpled.
Explore.
Region.
Properly.
Mystery.
Exquisite.
Moderation.
Compromise.
Wildness.
Tameness.
Balance.
Severely.
Trim.
Hedge.
Obedience.
Irregularity.
Coloring.
Snugly.
Opposition.
Motto.
Woodland.
Wind.
Cultivation.
Exercises. Section 1. Listening comprehension.
Listen to the record. Answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D from the four possible choices.
A. We are going to check the places and distances among them. 1. Los Angeles to Chicago, 2054. Houston to Miami, 1,199. Detroit to Houston, 1,265. 2. New York to Los Angeles, 2,786. Chicago to Houston, 1,050. Chicago to Miami, 1,327.
B. The coastal area of North Africa is almost as pleasant as Southern California, with hot, dry summers and consistently heavy rains in winter. The forested mountains of Morocco and Algeria have a heavy winter, snowfall, and excellent skiing grounds.
temperatures in the coastland's higher altitudes fall below freezing on winter nights. In the south of the mountains and plateaus, the true desert begins. It is not a continuous sea of land. Some parts are great stretches of picturesque dunes, but others are rim rock and gravel, not at all flat. And one may travel for days and see scarcely any sand. Rains fall rarely, though then in such large closes that bivouac commanders should not take care to make camp in ravine. Winter nights are bitterly cold.
C. Traveling on the London Underground, the Tube, presents few difficulties for visitors because of the clear color-coded maps. It is always useful to have plenty of spare change with you because there are many often long queues at the larger stations. If you have enough change, you can buy your ticket from a machine. You will find signs which list the stations in alphabetical order, with the correct fares, near the machines. There are automatic barriers which are operated by the tickets. You should keep the ticket because it is checked at the destination.
Supplementary reading.
New Zealand, the international marketplace. Trade is New Zealand's livelihood. As the country lacks many mineral resources and has only discovered small reserves of oil, New Zealand needs to import minerals to keep its economy running. Over 75% of imports are raw materials needed for production and transport fuels. New Zealand depends on increasing its export income by diversifying its products. Greater efficiency and competitiveness are seen as the key to long-term growth. A number of government departments have been made fully commercial and are expected to make a profit. Several, including Telecom and New Zealand Rail, have been completely or partly sold to overseas investors. The financial sector has seen the most rapid and far-reaching deregulation in its history. Foreign investment is increasing and financial markets are active. New Zealand is one of the world's largest exporters of meat, dairy products, and wool. However, because the country depends heavily on agricultural products, it is very easily affected by changes in the world prices for those products. It is also affected by problems with oil prices and supply. A lot of agricultural products are exported through product boards.
These boards are responsible for wool,
dairy products, kiwi fruit, apples and pears, berry fruit, eggs, poultry, honey, wheat, tobacco, potatoes, and hops. As well as exporting, these boards ensure there is an adequate supply for the home market. Western Europe, and particularly Britain, have traditionally been New Zealand's major export market. Since Britain's entry to the European Community in 1973, the percentage of exports sold to the European Community has been reduced from 67 to under 25%. The major markets for exports in 1993 were, in order of value of exports, Australia, Japan, USA, UK, South Korea, and Malaysia. Products exported, in order of value, are meat, dairy products, wool, fish and seafood, forest products, fruits and nuts, aluminum, skins and leather, and mechanical machinery. New Zealand has a worldwide reputation for providing technical expertise, particularly in agriculture, engineering, forestry, and land management. New Zealand companies are also successful exporters of computer software and electronics in specialist areas. The main imports are industrial raw materials, capital equipment, and consumer goods. Many items are imported duty-free. Major sources of imports, in order of value of goods, are Australia, USA, Japan, UK, Germany, Saudi Arabia, Taiwan, and Singapore. New Zealand is sometimes called the world's biggest farm. However, although it has an ideal climate for grassland farming, little land is naturally arable and much of it is mountainous. Scientists and farmers have developed techniques for grassland management. About two-thirds of farmland is too rugged to be fertilized or sown by tractor. So New Zealand has been a pioneer in agricultural aviation, using locally developed aircraft to spread fertilizer and seeds from the air. There are about 59,000 farms and horticultural businesses. Over half of these farms are smaller than 100 hectares. Beef ranches and sheep stations in South Island are large by most standards. The land supports about 65 million sheep and 8 million cattle, which live outside all year round. New Zealand is the world's largest exporter of lamb and mutton. It is also the largest exporter of dairy products. There are over 3.3 million dairy cattle,
with 150 cows in the average herd.
Recently, deer have been domesticated for venison and goats for their fiber, hair.